All right, let's start here this morning in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and notice verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Lord, we come back to You this morning. We're glad and have enjoyed already being together here, things from the Word of God. We pray that You will fill our plates bountifully one more time here. There are some things here, Lord, we all need to be reminded of, encouraged in. There may be yet somebody here that's never trusted Christ or Savior. I pray that You'd show them their need. But Father, there's all kinds of people here with all kinds of needs. And it'll take You to meet any of them. All that man can do, Lord, is address them with His words, but there's not a lot more that He can do. So we pray You'd comfort the afflicted and help the folks that need strength to attain that. In the meantime, Father, we'll trust You for all the other categories of things that we need and trust that You will supply. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the message in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is well known and well understood. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you love God, then whatever it is that you're going through, the Lord will do something with, and those things work together for good. And there's a lot of preaching that can go on with that. And that's a wonderful message, but that's not the message today. You know, it's funny sometimes how you can take huge scoops of the Bible and find things and go through a humongous amount of material and get this wonderful truth. And there's just times that you take more of a little taste of something and that needs to be savored for a while on your tongue and just roll it around and just enjoy the savor of it for a while. And that's the case today. You see, verse 28 contains a couple of words that are in scores of other passages in the Bible. I'll show you why I chose this one in particular to call your attention to. It says in verse 28, "And we know." I want you to see there that we know. Now, that we know is sandwiched between something. In verse 27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth." Well, that's God knowing, right? And in verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow." That's God foreknowing. Our knowing is sandwiched between God knowing. And it says there that we know. Now, there's some things we don't know. Verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for." There are things we don't know. But folks, in verse 28, there are things we know. All right? There are things we know. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, those two words, "we know," deserve some attention. And the reason they deserve some attention is because if there is anything that everybody is trying to tear down in your hearts and lives, your foundation, it's your trust and your certainties as Bible-believing Christians. And folks, I just want to say that if there is nothing else that's learned out of this, I hope you'll leave here understanding that Bible-believing Christianity, whether you will accept it and live it or not, provides some certainties that nothing else in this life provide. You know, Paul said in another passage in 1 Corinthians 9, "I therefore run not as uncertainly, so fight I." Not uncertainly. Paul was absolutely certain about what he was doing, about what he believed, and about what he held. It says furthermore in Luke chapter 1 of another fellow named Luke, he said, "Listen, I had perfect understanding of everything about these things that I'm telling you about that happened." And he says, "Furthermore, and I'm writing them that thou mightest know the certainty of those things that you've been instructed in. A Christian is given the tools to be absolutely 100% certain about the things that he knows. Proverbs holds a great passage in Proverbs 22 where it says, and the Lord speaking, "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth." Now, ladies and gentlemen, Christians are supposed to know some things. They are supposed to know some things. And there's a whole list of them, and we'll just name a few. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." He said, "We know." In 1 John it says, "There are many antichrists whereby we know it is the last time." It says furthermore in 1 John, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see Him, we shall see Him as He is." Right? But we know. It says in 1 John chapter 3, "We know we have passed from death into life. We know that we are of the truth. We know He abideth in us. We know that we are of God." I know there are some folks that have a problem with that, but we know that we're of God. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." It says in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's praying and says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. You know, folks, we know. And there are things that we know, and you have to understand that the things that we know can only be known by revelation. All right? None of the astrophysicists are going to figure this out. A guy with a microscope, a guy with a telescope, a guy with a research laboratory is not going to discover to be true scientifically the things that we've listed here. You understand that? You understand that there are some things that you can't grasp without God showing them to you, that they come from the treasury of God's knowledge and only His. Now listen, I understand that some people have a problem with that, and I understand that in a skeptical day and age that you may have to address the skeptics just a little bit. But you need to understand this. Folks, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I got news for you. You say, "Oh yeah, that's bad." No, it's not bad, because I got news for you. Everybody walks by faith. Okay? You say, no, the scientists don't walk by faith. Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Listen, folks, I do not know a Christian one that would debate with you whether 3 plus 3 equals 6. I'll grant you that. You can see that. Anybody can work that out. It doesn't matter if a neo-Nazi tells you that 3 plus 3 is 6. 3 plus 3 is 6. It doesn't matter if a Buddhist or a theosophist tells you that 3 plus 3 is 6. Well, you can verify 3 plus 3 is 6. I know a Christian that debates that. There's not a Christian around that debates that it means sea level, that water will begin to skim over at 32 degrees. Right? You can figure that out. I don't know many Christians that are, you know, fighting with any scientists about the coefficients of friction or about any of the laws of thermodynamics or anything. That's not the problem. That's not the problem at all. The issue is when some guy with dreadlocks and braids his nose hair stands up and tells you that the globe is warming and then doesn't have anything really to back it up, or else he's just using certain statistics to back him up. You see, in the end, and this is what I'm getting to, we walk by faith and not by sight, right? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And by that hearing and by that faith, we know that certain things are true. Listen, folks, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the words of God, by the Word of God. You know what we know? We know that the framing of this world is not by 2x4s or by steel. It's by the Word of God. It's spiritual. You say, "Well, that's just kind of crazy. You crazy Christian." No, wait a minute. I'm not done yet. Everybody believes their sources. We believe our sources, and you believe yours. See, an evolutionist stands up and he says, well, the scientists have proved. No, you didn't do any research in evolution. You're believing what somebody said, and they're believing what somebody said, and they're believing what somebody said. And what they don't realize is that Plato was setting forth, that he was setting forth evolution long before, you know, anybody named Darwin ever showed up. Say, what's the point? The point is, everybody believes their sources, okay? Our source is God. Our source is the Bible, and that God wrote the Bible. He told us what to believe, and we believe it. So we know some things that evolutionists don't know, okay? Now listen, folks, we know. Now the book says, we know. We know that all things work together for good, but it says a lot more. And ladies and gentlemen, somebody who's saved, somebody who's a Bible-believing Christian, somebody who's praying, somebody who's trying to walk and do the right thing ought to know some things. And if you're a Christian, I suppose everybody in here this morning would claim to be a Christian. And I hope everybody in here this morning is a Christian. And so as a Christian, you ought to know some things. It says we know. It says over and over again that we know. And this is not about a list of things that we know. In fact, this is a really simplistic sermon. There is no deep prophecy in this one at all. All I want to set forth to you today is what the Bible doesn't mean by we know. Okay? I'll try hopefully to clarify. You just take the words and roll them around on your tongue. And you try to gather something from what these words don't mean. You see, the Bible says we know. It doesn't say that we see. And we see that all things work together for good to them that love God. No, you won't see it. You don't see that. And you probably won't see that until you get to heaven. You don't see it. Your knowing and your seeing are two different things. And you're not going to see it. The verse does not say, and we see that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands of turn. We don't see it. You don't see it. You know it. We see that we have passed from death into life. No, sometimes you don't see it. You see, it says that we know. It does not say that we see. And seeing and knowing are two separate things. Somebody says, well, seeing's believing. That's not true. That's not true at all. It says that we know. There are a lot of people that expect to see. There are a lot of people that pray that they might see. I'm not talking about blind people wanting to see. I'm talking about the fact that we do walk by faith and not by sight. And you, old Pentecostal you are not going to see some things in this life. If you expect to see before you know, you're going to be sadly, sadly disappointed. Because seeing is not believing. That's a falsehood. Folks, the people in the wilderness, the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, they saw all kind of things. And there are no people anywhere that are so castigated for their unbelief. In Jesus Christ's day, people saw more than most of us could imagine. And they still killed Jesus Christ. In the apostles' day, they still saw more than any of us have ever seen. And every one of those apostles, according to history, died a torturous death. Folks, seeing is not believing. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God Himself that said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though they see one rise from the dead. If they will not hear, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, folks, this is not a deep sermon at all. I'm just telling you what knowing does not mean. It does not mean seeing. He said, we know. He did not say, we feel. And we feel that all things work together for good to them that love God. them who are the called according to his purpose. That's not what it says. You have the notable distinction of being in the touchy-feely generation. If you're a male, you're supposed to be a sensitive male. We live in a day where everybody is worried about everyone else's feelings and so on. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be concerned about somebody's feelings, but everybody is judged by their sensitivity. Half the time, if you go around as a witness for Jesus Christ and ask what somebody believes about something, they'll say, "Well, I feel," and you've already gotten off on the wrong verbs. I mean, folks, murder and kick is not the same thing. To murder and to kick, that's not the same thing. And to feel and to know are not the same thing. You understand? Folks, it does not say we feel. These things have I written unto you that you may feel that you have everlasting life. That's not what it says. It does not say we feel we are of the truth. That's not what it says. It says that we know. You know, folks, it's important to tell, there's an important thing to tell Christians. And that is what you know is wholly independent of what you feel. Once in a great while, feelings and knowings come together, and that's icing on the cake. If you're saved and you feel saved too, that's a great thing. But I got news for you folks. There are mornings that the preacher gets up and doesn't feel saved. You know what I decided a long time ago? I decided a long time ago there were lots of feelings that I was going to ignore. Amen. Folks, I would be a raging nutcase if I acted on everything I felt. And there are some people that do act on everything they feel. The issue is not whether you feel saved. The issue is you can know you are saved, independent of how you feel. Cop stops you on the road and says, "Do you know you were going 65 and a 30? And you say, "I feel I was going 35. See if that gets you anywhere. Right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. The Bible says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." It says to guide thine heart in the way. I know people that feel they are saved but don't know it. And you know what is almost always true? They're not saved. You are called to know some things because God promised some things. And the reason you know them is because you put your trust on what God said. And sometimes the feelings catch up. And sometimes they don't catch up for a while. And it just doesn't matter. It does not say that we see. It does not say that we feel. It says that we know. Imagine God planning it so men and women would live their lives according to how they feel. What a mess, right? All right, I want you to see something else. He says, "And we know that all things work together." And he says, "We know a lot of things." He says, "We know." He doesn't say that we see. He doesn't say that we feel. And he doesn't say that we speculate. Okay? There's a very common occurrence, again, to somebody, you knock somebody's door or talk to them on the street, and you start talking to them about something, you know, in the Bible, and something that the Bible says is really plain, and they say, "Well, what I think that means, I mean, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know what I think that means?" No, I don't care what you think that means. Okay? I know what it means. It says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal." I don't need to know what you think. And it's dumb if you start a sentence with, "Well, you know what I think about that." Listen, it's not what you think, it's not what you speculate that matters. And we think that all things work together for good to them that love God. we think that we have eternal life. We think the Son of God hath come. How would you like your Bible written like that? Well, folks, people talk like that. No, we know. It's not that we speculate. You know, most of you folks grew up a Roman Catholic, some of you Lutheran, some of you in other, you know, Protestant denominations. And one of the reasons that you're here is because one day that you discovered that people in a lot of those places do not know that they have eternal life. They think they might. They speculate that they might, but they don't know that they do. And I want you to understand that speculation has a long and well-charted history. The Bible says that you make the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. You know all tradition is? Men sit around and think and speculate about how things must be. And it doesn't matter a hill of beans. The most natural thing in the world is for a man to speculate about certain things. The most natural thing in the world is for you to veer away from what the Bible says. But you have to keep coming back to what the Bible says, or what you believe and think is no good. You know what I mean? Folks, the Bible says, and we know. It is not wise to speculate beyond what the Scriptures say. You know, it says, we know. Not that we speculate, not that we feel, not that we see. There's something else that it doesn't say. It doesn't say, and we assume. Or we presume. We presume that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we assume that the Son of Man, that the Son of God has come. That's not what it says. Now, you know, folks, they accuse us Bible believers of assumption. They accuse us Bible believers of presumption. But you're called to know. Let me give you a definition here real quick. To assume means to take for granted, to suppose or to postulate, to appropriate to oneself. To presume means to undertake with unwarrantable boldness, to venture as by taking liberty. Okay? Most men, if you go and talk to folks on the street, it won't take long for you to, if they'll talk to you, for a guy to postulate that, well, you know what I think is that one day we're going to all die and we're going to go to the great judgment seat in the sky. And there's going to be a big scale. And all my good deeds are weighed on one side. And all my bad deeds are weighed on the other side. And we're just going to have to wait to find out how that works. Now, you know all that is? That's speculation. That's somebody that has no grounds for thinking what he's thinking at all. There's none whatsoever. I got news for you. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get to judgment. And there's not going to be a scale at all. There's going to be one question asked. Have you taken a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ? Okay, that's all. There's not going to be a scale. There's going to be a question asked. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? And to think anything else is speculation. People say, well, God is love, and therefore God won't send anybody to hell. That's speculation. You took the Bible, God is love, and then left the Bible and assumed that God wouldn't send anybody to hell. And the rest of the Bible testifies that He has, and that He will, and that He currently does. You understand? Speculation is the work of damnation, folks. We know certain things. We don't see, we don't feel, we don't speculate, we don't assume, we don't presume. When somebody says, you know, there's a big scale in the sky, he's presuming that. He's assuming things. When he says God won't send anybody to hell, he's presuming that. When somebody says, well, you know, there are many different religions, and I just do not think that God will send everybody to hell, doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. You're presuming things. He's already said that he will send everyone to hell that doesn't receive Jesus Christ. Why would you presume, well, he won't. Why would you presume that? Why would you deny what he said? Say, a man, Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, I don't believe it. You're presuming. You're assuming. You have no grounds for that. It's not right that you do that. It's looking one thing in the face, calling God a liar, and doing something else. Why would you do that? It says that we know. It doesn't say that we presume. It doesn't say that we assume. You know what else it doesn't say? It doesn't say that we hope. Are you saved?
Well, hope so.
It doesn't say, and we hope that we have eternal life. It doesn't say that we hope that all things work together for good to them that love God. It doesn't say that we may hope that we have eternal life. That's not what it says. It says that we may know that we have eternal life. It does not say that we hope. I was talking about good old Osama Obama in Sunday school this morning. And he wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. My response is, yep, that's audacity to think that's hope. All right? Now listen, folks. There is a biblical hope. That is true. You will find a biblical hope in our text here, just a couple of verses before. But it's not, I hope so. Biblical hope is where you've placed your trust. We don't, in America, we hardly use the word the way the Bible uses it anymore. Because when we say, well, we sure hope we get rich one day. That's not how the Bible uses that. In the Bible, your hope is where you've placed your trust. That's what you're hoping in. So that's your hope. My hope is the Bible. My hope is the blood of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ. He is my hope. He's my hope. Right? But if you ask me if I'm saved, I'm not going to say, oh, hope so. Because it's much more than that. I have placed my trust there. That's my hope. People will throw their lot in with just about anything as long as it doesn't put a hitch in their lives. I have discovered that most people desire to go out and find and to hear what they want to hear. And they will find a church that says what they want it to say. They'll find a preacher that says what they want to hear. And some of them want to hear a little bit about evolution. Some of them want to hear Roman Catholic doctrine or whatever else. And all they're doing is hoping. You know, we talked last week about a very famous and biblically famous group of people that had very little hope. And when, you know, Jonah preached that message to those Ninevites, they said, well, who can tell? Who can tell? We'll fast, we'll pray, and who can tell if God might have mercy? God did have mercy. I will grant you that. But you know what, folks? There is an entire nation of people in this country that are taking shots in the dark with eternity. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a gambler. I can't remember the last time I gambled. I never had any money to gamble. I tell you this, if I had $1 million, I wouldn't gamble. Okay? If you took $1 million to Vegas and you sit down at a blackjack table and you had some experience in blackjack, I suppose you would have a fair percentage of a chance to come away with more than you went with. But that's not what's being played here. People are taking, in essence, their $1 million, throwing it down a toilet, and saying, I hope it pops back out and has grown. All right? I've said before, it's the equivalent of going out on the back porch with your 12-gauge shotgun in the dark, shooting 3 shots into the air blindly. You coming in, the kid saying, Daddy, what were you doing? And you saying, duck hunting. It's a shot in the dark. You say, is it conceivable? Is it conceivable that you hit a duck? conceivable. But you know as well as I do that what you're going to hit is air. All right. There are folks that will go down to a corner store and listen to some old coot give his opinion about some such thing and listen to a friend here or somebody there or somebody on the radio form their own little theological doctrines about how you're going to get to heaven and come up with some idea about just doing the right thing and making sure that you buy a few Girl Scout cookies here or there. You're taking a shot in the dark. And it is a vain hope. The Bible says that we know that we have eternal life. And listen, you either know it or you don't know it. And I got news for you. If you don't know it, you probably don't have it. Okay? Now, I'll give you my testimony. I wouldn't deceive you. I received Christ when I was 10 years old, and I knew I was saved. Then I went back to the world and lived wrong. And by the time somebody got around to asking me 10 years later whether I knew I had eternal life, I said no, because I'd forgotten. Now, she started witnessing to me, and by the time we were 30 minutes deep, I said, I've already done that, which some of you have heard before. Now, I'm not saying that most people that say that are sincere. I'm telling you that happened to me. I am telling you, yes, you can forget what you once knew. But I got news for you. Most people that don't know that they're saved aren't. Okay. They're just not. It is not that we hope. It is not, boy, we hope so. We know. I tell you what else it doesn't say. It doesn't say that we decided. We decided that all things work together for good to them that love God. We decided that the Son of Man has come. That's not what the Bible says. Church history is a riot. Bunch of people get together and are confused about what the Bible says. So they call a council. They get 75 men in a room and they all argue and debate and carry on, and compromise, and so on, and come to a final vote, a final conclusion about what God thinks, and then they write a decree, and God's supposed to jump on that pony. Right? Do you know how many councils in the Bible failed? Do you know how many times men actually got together, and after men had agreed on what God thought, how often it was that God didn't think that way at all? Listen, folks, the Bible does not say that we decided. We know what the Bible says independently from what any council decided. Because you can read it. Right? Listen, folks, I don't know if you came here expecting this morning some deep theological discussion. It's not a deep theological discussion. It's discussing the fact that a Christian is supposed to know some things. And the number of ways that's twisted, where some people think that means we see, some people think it means we feel, some people think it means that we speculate or we presume or that we hope or that we decided, and none of it's true. If you're a Bible-believing Christian and you have a Bible, you can know independent from all those things. I'll tell you the last thing that it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we pretend. We pretend that we have eternal life. We pretend that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, some people do, but we ought not. Okay? Look, there are hypocrites in every walk of life. All right? And I believe on putting a decent face on sometimes when I don't feel like putting a decent face on. All right? If I ask you, how are you today? Usually, I don't mean, dump on me, baby. You know, just, if you want to talk to me, if you want to dump, just, I'll tell you more about it later, and I'll get the message, and you can come dump later. You know, for now, how are you? You know, it's hypocritical, right? How are you? Fine. Oh, good. Okay. Everybody understands, you know, that's the case. But I can tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you oughtn't to put a facade in front of your building. Our theme ought not be that we pretend. Look, you played that game when you were lost. Some of you had a religious front. Some of you didn't have a religious front. But you played that game when you were lost. Don't play the game now. You have something much better. We know. You have a Bible that tells you, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm telling you, folks, they hate your trust, and they hate your certainty. Okay? The devil hates what you trust, the Bible and Jesus Christ, and he hates your certainty. We know. Every time you walk out there and say, there are some things that I know for sure, they're going to argue with you. They're going to argue with you as long as you'll stand and talk, because they hate your certainty. And if there is anything that a Christian should have, it is certainty. If there is anything that marks a Christian besides a decent, righteous life, it's the fact that he knows things that they don't know. Do not allow your birthright to be stolen. And how about you? Do you know? Do you know? I dealt with somebody just a little bit ago who thought he knew but decided, you know what? I don't really know. But there's no disgrace. There is no disgrace in saying, you know what? I need to get this sorted out. There is no disgrace. You know, you cannot ride somebody else's coattails to heaven. Okay? You have to know. Do you know? Let's bow our heads. Now, Father, we come to you here, and America is a treacherous place because we're gospel rich. And most decent people know the name of Jesus Christ. Most people have some idea of what a plan of salvation is. And when a plan of salvation is presented, they can nod their head and say, I knew that already. It's an embarrassment of riches, Lord. And it's also very deceitful ground. We know it's light. We know it's good. But there are a lot of folks that are deceiving themselves. We pray, Lord, that you will deal with everybody's heart here. This is not about some public display of something. It's about whether somebody down in the depths of their own soul really do truly know Jesus Christ, whether they have indeed embraced the promises that have to do with giving a man life and giving him a new birth and giving him a fresh start without his sins clinging to him. I pray that you will deal with our hearts here, Father, and if nobody here needs to be converted, I do at least pray that you'll deal with all of us about the fact that we know. And it's not that we do all these other things that we mentioned here this morning. Pray you'd bless a simple message, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 224.
2:24. Christians have become about what they believe. They're real hard to get cornered, and they're willing to give latitude to all other opinions, it seems like, that when you read the scripture, they're abominable to God. Folks, if there's anything the devil wants to do, it's to disgrace you, intimidate you about what you know. And before it's all over with, he'll wind up talking you out of knowing what you know. It's part of the battle. Don't let him do it. All right? You are called to be certain. You are called to know some things. Back to the fourth stanza.
I know.
This morning, pray a blessed nursing home this afternoon as these folks go over to labor with some older folks. Pray that the light may still shine bright for them. Get us back tonight, Father, safely for services, and we look again for your hand to be upon us, Lord, and to speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name.